All right. Happy Mother's Day. Wow. Okay. Jeez. Happy Mother's Day. I guess I'll preach like this too. We're going to have to pray. Let's try it again. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. That's so much better. I always think it's interesting when people say that they don't like to speak to teenagers and children because they just sit there like duds. I'm like, really? It's not my experience. It's a little different. I always enjoy speaking to teenagers. They're engaging in all kinds of ways. So anyway, it's always by faith that I stand before adults, just so you know. But anyway, amen. We're here this morning and we're embracing mothers and we're going to embrace God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you, Father God, that you give me the words to speak, that we have revelation insight into your word with open hearts and ears to receive the word. I thank you, Father God, that your word goes forth and produces much fruit for the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father, today for the anointing of a mother and that you birth inside of us new vision and hope for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, a lot of what is in my heart I want to share was... I was trained up in, and then to have my own revelation. So there's a lot of this that I might refer to my mom, or I might not refer to her at all, but she directed me in that way, you know. When Dad asked me to speak this morning, I'm like, don't you want Mom to do that? And because she holds such great wisdom, my mother has always. And so I was thinking about that, you know, this great wisdom, where did that come from? Because if you ask her, she'll be like, huh? I mean, I just go before the Lord. I just, you know, I just took the word for what it said and I believed it. Amen. And that's what she'll tell you. It's the most humble way ever. And you're like, okay. Yeah. And so then if you think, well, you just probably rode on their coattails. If my parents thought I was riding on their coattails, they'd take the coat off. They'd set the coat on fire. There was no riding on these people's coattails. It was, you need to get it for yourself. There were times when I went for them to, for direction, and they go, well, I'm not the Holy Ghost for you. I can tell you what the word says, and then, you know, you can take that for yourself. And you're like, okay. And so, anyway, when I was looking, I just thought it goes back to embrace God. And then in like that last video, there's some hard things that can come along as a mother. And how do you get through that? You embrace God. And so I guess what I titled this and what's on my heart is embrace God. For whatever it is, wherever you're at, embrace God. Amen. And we see that in the word. There's a pattern for our life in the word. And if we will go to the word and we will take it and we will believe it, then it is true for us. And I'm gonna start off reading. I've got Bibles everywhere, notes everywhere. It's all good. So I'm gonna start in Isaiah. I love the new pulpit. I'm like, I can spread out. But in Isaiah 40. Well, let's start in Isaiah 41:10. I'm gonna start with this one. This one has really dear meaning to us. And let me tell you, I'm a tender-hearted person. So as I tell stories or as I do things, sometimes the tears flow. So hopefully I can say what I want to say without the tears. Nobody wants to see anybody up here ugly cry, right? I mean, come on. It's part of motherhood. Okay. In Isaiah 41, this is in the Amplified Bible, verse 10, it says, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteous and justice. Hallelujah. And so I was reading this, and this came up to me. As for a mother, fear not. I am with you. Don't look around you in terror. Sometimes what you see as a mother can be terrifying. Maybe your children are in that backslidden state and they're not doing what they need to do. Maybe that they've got a medical report that doesn't seem very promising. Maybe you're just sitting there looking at your newborn that's crying all the time, and you're like, I have no idea what to do for you because I've done it all and what everyone else told me to do. Maybe you're wanting to be a mom and you haven't been able to. Fear not, I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. Dismayed, that means no hope. For I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. If we will just embrace this one verse, then we trade in the terror for the strength of God that will enable you to do. You say, well, you don't understand. I haven't had that example before. Then fear not. God is your example. And he says he is your father. He will hold you up with his right hand. When my dad was going through chemo, we were celebrating his birthday and we were at his house. And he was having it. He had just had a treatment. He had also had been battling an infection that had come on with chemo stents, blah blah blah, whatever. And so we were celebrating his birthday. So he wasn't at full strength at this birthday. And so we're, you know, happy birthday to you, and we're singing, and he's sitting there, and his eyes kept blinking. And blinking, and he kind of looked ash color, and he didn't eat a lot. He didn't look good. And so you're sitting there, you're like, oh, you know, wow. So he was sitting in a chair, and I was sitting next to him, and he reached out his hand, and I grabbed his hand, and he said, you know what comforts me? And he's almost whispering. And he breathes in deep, and he kept blinking his eyes real slow. It wasn't the picture of health. And he said, you know what comforts me? And he read me this verse, and he said, I picture my hand in the hand of the Lord. And he said, it gives me comfort and strength because I just rest in him. So I look, and he closed his eyes. I looked at him, and I look over at Mom, and she went, he's okay. And I went, okay, Daddy, I'm going to go because I think you need a nap. And he went, okay, baby. So I get in the car, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, this is going to be, you know, I'm never going to see my daddy again. This is it. You just celebrated his last birthday. It just hit me. Just hit me. And I'm like, I wanted to look at Daddy and go, get your hand out of the stinking hand of God. You're not going there yet. That's not comforting me, thinking about you holding God's hand, walking over the shores of glory. No. I want to, you know, fear not and be dismayed. I'm taking the land verse, not I'm holding God's hand. No, So I get in the car and I'm having a moment. I'm like, I am having a real live moment. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, help me. I can't do this. And the Lord went, nope, you can't. And I'm like, thank you. And all of a sudden, it just came up. What's the word that's bringing you comfort? What's the word that's bringing you comfort? And I went there, and it was about Abraham, and it would be just like it was promised him. So it would be for my dad. The same way that God promised Abraham Isaac that my dad would have long life and come out on the other end. So I was like, and so I started speaking that, and I was like, if that's, if God, and so I'm like, oh, right. And so the Lord said, you look up the verse he just said to you. And so I looked it up, and it says, fear not, for there's nothing to fear. I am with you. Do not look around you in terror. He said, don't look at him in terror. It doesn't help you, nor does it help you. It doesn't help him, and it doesn't help you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. And from that point on, I had decided I would embrace God and his word to harden to the difficulties. I didn't care when Daddy was up here and he was preaching in, was April the 28th. He was sitting here preaching. And he said, when there's nothing, when you can't see anything but whale. Anybody hear that when he was preaching about the whale? And when all you could see is whale, and he got going, and he kind of started acting a little funny, and I'm sitting there looking at him, and he went down there, and I thought, he's about to go. And you know, you got to understand, in our camp, ministers will fall out under the power of God. You know, I've seen them do it, preaching, and I'm thinking, he's swaying, I don't know. So Dad starts to go down, like right at Mama, and I'm right there, and I remember I jumped up and I grabbed him. Christina jumped the pew. She came over, jumped the pew, and we just started praying for him because he passed out is what happened. Not because of the cancer, but all the chemo that was going on. And he passed out. It was nothing but when you, on all you see is well. I got to tell you, I was so unmoved by that. I was so unmoved by that. But I remember Matthew, and he said, I thought Poppy died right before my eyes. And I said, Matthew, if Poppy would have died, we'd have raised him up from the dead. But God has strengthened me. Why? Because I embraced him at his word. And he did something supernatural that nobody else could do. I couldn't do that on my own. And in God, when you place your loved ones in the hands of God, it's an invincible moment. It's an invincible moment. And I heard Brother Savelle, I think it was, well, it might have been Jesse Duplantis or Jerry Savelle. They were talking about having to have an operation, things being done. And one of their daughters said, Daddy, you're invincible. And he said, in Christ. Well, then I just got a picture of that. My dad's a superhero. In Christ, he's invincible. But that whole time, that was my mom's first year of teaching or principal. Right? It was your first year. It was her first year as principal. That can be overwhelming. Let me tell you something. It can be a little overwhelming your first year as principal, okay? Speak from experience, especially during a plague. So, pandemic, whatever it is. And so, that was Mom's first year. And then Dad was diagnosed with cancer. I watched her. And I watched her. How do you do this? She walked it out with the Lord God Almighty, and she had her scripture verse, and it's what I've seen my entire life. My entire life. I've seen that woman break her foot and sit there and look at it and speak the word over it, and nothing. And then later went and had an x-ray for something else, and they said at some point in time you've fractured your foot. She spoke the word and believed God. I've seen her. I've known her to get on the back of a motorcycle with an infection in her body and go from one place to the other. And you're like, Mother. And she's like, I'm okay. I have the word. I've watched her. She wasn't playing house. She didn't play church. She didn't play mother. She lived it. So the greatest thing that I was ever taught in life was to embrace God. And when you do and you take him at his word, wonderful, miraculous things happen. Go to Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. As a mother, this verse says it all. It's what we desire. You can have those weary days. You can have those days where you need strength to multiply and abound. Embrace God. Embrace God. He has and gives extraordinary power to those that are weary and faint. He'll multiply and make you to abound. Just wait on the Lord. Expect, look for, hope in him. So the word, I can speak those things. I can take the word of God and I can show it to you. I can lead you to it. I can preach it. I can paint it on tapestry, put it on Facebook. I can do all these things, but this only becomes true for you when you embrace it. You have to embrace it. What does that word embrace mean? It means to hold, to accept. There's two parts to an embrace. How many of you ever tried to hug a baby and it didn't want to hug you back? My son is a cuddler. My son loves to cuddle. My son loves to take my grandbabies and just try to cuddle them up. And Jeremiah will say, "Stop it, Matthew. Get off of me. Stop. And quit." And so Matthew, he'll just grab. There's two parts to this. There's the embrace, but it doesn't always get received. God is always out with his arms embracing you with his spirit, embracing you with his word. But you have to turn and embrace it back for it to give you the power that's promised. And so that's the secret to all of this, is turn and embrace what God's already provided. Turn and embrace the embracement of God and his word. And so when it says that he lifts you up, he puts his hand out there and he's holding you up, his victorious right arm, his right hand, then turn around and you grab hold of it. Like Peter that was sinking, he had to grab hold of it and pull himself back up with God. There will be circumstances. They can be all around you. But the embracement of God and the embracement of his word will just take you to the other side. So you can have this. I remember with Christina, because Christina loved her father. They have always shared a very tight bond. This started out as little baby. And so Christina, my mom came and stayed with us for 2 weeks. Praise God. Praise God. When I had Christina, I wasn't a baby person. I didn't babysit a lot. I didn't enjoy babysitting. I didn't enjoy babies. That just wasn't part of my nature. I didn't know a lot. Like my sister, it was just like she came out of the womb and just knew babies and children and how to be with them. That wasn't my story. And then God called me to be with children for all of my life, apparently. So, you know, whatever. And so God, Mom, it worked out. Mom came to be with us. And so she helped a lot with Christina and showing me. And I'd had a cesarean. So it was just one of those things. I did need a lot of help. And I don't care what kind of birth you have. Help is wonderful. Right, ladies? I mean, you know, it's nice. And so, and if you don't have help, then God strengthens you and you embrace him and it'll be okay. You'll be good. But anyway, so my mom left. And it was like the moment that my mother walked out the door, Christina, something flipped on the inside of her, like, I must cry all the time now. And if I picked her up, it's like I must scream twice as hard and flail, not just cry, but throw arms and legs. And so I would lay her down. And so my mom had this blanket that she was using while she was there that she slept with. So I lay Christina down on that blanket. And Christina snuggled into that and stopped crying. And I was like, well, mom's got to come back. I'm like, mom's got to come back or Christina's going to Cleveland. I mean, it was like, because we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm going, oh, man, I am already really bad at this. And then John came home and he picked her up and she just nestled right on his chest and that was it. So I'm like, okay, Christina gets to go to Rhema too. I was just like, oh my gosh. And I called mom and mom said, well, I think you just need to get along with the Lord. I think you're stressed and she senses that, but you're just going to have to get along with the Lord. I'm like, well, I know, but what do you do? She says, well, I get along with the Lord. And I'm like, but I know, but like, what were you doing when you were here? And she said, well, I'm at peace. Are you at peace? No, Mother, I'm not at peace. There's no peace here. And Teresa Chambliss had sent me a CD that was all, it was Peace by Brother Copeland. Man, I played that thing. I had to get two of them. Teresa actually ended up giving me two of them because I wore that thing out. And Keith Moore had one on Peace. And Christina started crying. I'm like, there you go, Keith Moore. There you go, Brother Copeland. We're all about the peace. And I had to learn to trust in the Lord and embrace Him to be at peace so that I could display peace. And that's the thing is God's always embracing us. But when we in turn embrace Him, then it strengthens you to reproduce what He's putting in your life. And so you can reproduce that strength and encouragement. And we have an example of this in the Bible. It's Habakkuk. Now listen, if you don't say it that way, I did word searches and pronunciations to make sure I'm saying this right. So it's H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. Don't know how you say it, but the proper way is Habakkuk, okay? So Habakkuk. But in Habakkuk, we see this. Do you know what his name means? And if you go to school here, don't say. Do you know what his name means? Huh? Yeah, you heard me say that. Did you hear me? Okay, you knew that? Okay. I'm like, no cheating. Embrace. Habakkuk means embrace. And there's two things about this we see. We can see God embracing him, and we can see that he embraces God. And what it does. So there's only three chapters in this book. And in the first one, I'm going to try to summarize this for sake of time. But in the very first chapter, it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, the burden that he saw. This just struck me. I was reading this the other day, and it struck me for moms. I saw this for a woman. How many times do you look and you see the burden? You can see the circumstances around you. So he starts to tell. In this time that he wrote this, they just came off of having Josiah as king. They were having reform. They were having a great, abundant time. And now it's switched over. And so what he's seeing is a time of lawlessness. He's seeing a time of injustice. He's seeing a time that let's just read. It says, O Lord, this is verse 2, Habakkuk 1:2. O Lord, how long shall I cry? You will not hear, even cry out to you violence. He saw violence all around him. And you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. I mean, it sounds like he could be telling us the news that we're hearing and seeing right now. There's lawlessness all around. There is violence. Lord God, what about this? Where are you? For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. And God replies. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. The Lord responds out of faith. The Lord responds out of not the circumstances from what is seen. The Lord goes up above and says, you watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days. In your homes, God will work such a work in your homes. You can look like this and go, but God, my children. God, my lack of children. God, my home. God, my husband. And he says, you look, I'll do a work. You'll be utterly astounded at what I can do. He immediately speaks that word of encouragement because it's God. And then he goes through here and it says, for indeed I'm raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth. He's going through here telling that these people are going to come. It's going to be pretty terrible. There's going to be judgment that comes. And so in verse 12, you see Habakkuk, he's like, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you've appointed them for judgment. So he's like, okay, so you're saying you appointed them for judgment. We will not die. But what's going on here? It's not that he's rejecting what's coming to him. He's still not in complete understanding. And it says in, go to chapter 2 now, verse 1. And I love this. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Habakkuk doesn't quite understand what is going on in the circumstances around him. But then he goes, but I will stand my watch. I will stand in the place that's waiting for your answer, Lord God. And if it's an answer that comes and it causes me to correct myself, I'll correct myself. I will answer to it. There's been many times when I went before the Lord, just two years ago, I went before the Lord not understanding a situation. I was standing, I was believing, and I was proclaiming, and it did not go the way that I thought in my heart. And I remember I got in the floor and I said, Lord God, I know I must be missing it somewhere. I don't understand. Show me. If there's something here that I'm not seeing, show me. And the Lord immediately came in and he showed me something as much as I could at that moment. And I saw where I was wrong. I said, Lord God, correct me. I'm sorry. And then from that, I said, Lord, I take what you are telling me and I receive it and I accept it. Sometimes when the Lord gives us our answer, it's not maybe in the way we're thinking, but if we embrace it, it moves us past the situation to victory. Yeah. And that's what's about to happen, because then the Lord answered. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, this is Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision. This word vision means dream, revelation, oracle. The word vision in the dictionary, ability to think about or plan the future with imagination. It is something seen in a dream, trance, or ecstasy, a supernatural appearance that conveys a revelation, a manifestation to the senses of something immaterial. What does that sound like? That sounds like it could be partnered with faith. Manifestation to the senses of something immaterial. Vision. I love vision. I love having vision. I love pondering. I love daydreaming. I love thinking about things to come. Because I just feel like it's the Holy Ghost painting a picture on my spirit of all the wonderful things he could do if I'll just believe him. It's a challenge. But vision and faith go together. So he says, write the vision. He's about to show something and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But it at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. As a mom, there are things that we are believing God. As a woman, there are things that you have set your faith to, and sometimes it seems like it's tarrying. Don't give up. The vision speaks, and it's for an appointed time. It will come, so don't give up on it. Don't trade the vision in for what you see surrounding you. Don't trade it in for the temporal. Because Habakkuk, he took what was temporal and he traded it in for the vision of God. And then it says, this is from God, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." This "shall live" actually means in the Strong's to live, to stay alive, be preserved, to flourish, to enjoy life, to live in happiness, to breathe, be alive, be animated, recover health, live continuously. Brother Gary, that is you. You're going to live life by faith and be preserved and flourish and enjoy life, and the best is yet to come. That's what you just said. And recover health and live continuously. We could read this verse this way. The righteous person, in or by his faithfulness, firmness, consistency, belief, his faith, steadfastness, shall live. Yes. Shall live. Moms, live your life out in faith. That complete devotion to the Lord and his word. I embrace the Lord God. Go to him. Lord, I don't understand why these children are running around this house, not listening to me. It don't make any sense. I've told them. I've shown them. I've corrected them according to the word of God. I've done what I know to do. It does not make a lick of sense why they're over here coloring on the walls and beating the fool out of each other. Help me. And you just sit there for a moment, and the Lord starts ministering to you. Starts ministering to you. And all of a sudden, maybe a verse comes to you. Like this Isaiah. He gives power to the faint and weary. Okay, Lord. And you just know, I need to continue doing what I know to do. Maybe we just need to have a praise moment. You know what, kids? Y'all want to be loud? We're going to be loud for the Lord. Yeah, y'all are coming in here. Let's turn on some worship music. We're going to praise the Lord right now. Oh, no, that's not what we're doing right now. We're praising the Lord right now. You can use your voice for the Lord. And he'll give you ideas and you start. So my daughter is a worshiper. My daughter has always been a worshiper. When she was in the womb, I quit going to praise and worship. I'll just tell you. I quit going to praise and worship on Sunday mornings because at the end, she would bounce in rhythm to the music inside me. And I'd sit back, and this woman one day went, "Oh, Lord, child, look at your stomach." I said, "I know." She would just, she worshiped from the womb. And when she came to us, music was just part of her. So we always put godly music before her and kept her in that vein. And so to this day, she's still a worshiper, and so are her children. So when I'm with her children and they're getting a little special, then I put on worship music. And Jeremiah goes, "Oh, you've just put on mom's music." I'm like, "Mm-hmm." He goes, "That means we have to settle down." I'm like, "Yes, yes, it does." But I know that. I know my daughter, and I know that gifting that's on her, and so I know her household. And so I do. But the Lord will give you what's right for your household to embrace that brings the peace and the calmness. He has your answer if we'll embrace it. And we do it by faith, faith in him. Yes, yes, yes. So then the next verse in chapter 5, Habakkuk answered, he goes, "Indeed, because transgressions by wine, he is a proud man and he does not stay at home." All of a sudden he's like, "Okay, I see this." And then he starts going, "Woe to those that are evil. Woe to those who miss it. Woe to those that have the credit. Woe." And he starts, okay. And he's starting to get in line with the Lord. And then he goes into a prayer. In chapter 3, he goes into prayer. So all of a sudden, his vision starts changing, and he starts seeing what he needs to see. And so then he goes into a prayer, and in that prayer, he's starting to pray out the vision of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I've heard your speech. I was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. So when you embrace the Lord, you go to him with your situation. You wait and receive his word. Then you align yourself. You meditate. You ponder, like Mary said in Luke 2:19, she pondered these things in her heart. As a mother, you ponder these things in your heart. You roll them over. You meditate on them. You go and you, okay, Lord, and you meditate. And as you do, it strengthens you. It renews you. It gives you the strength. You attach faith to it. And now we're going somewhere. And that vision that the Lord gave you, though it might have seemed grand, now I'm attaching faith and I'm praying it out. Lord God, I thank you for these children. They're taught of you, and great shall be their peace. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. In all their ways, they will acknowledge you. In all their ways, they'll acknowledge you, and great shall be their peace, their undisturbed composure. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. All those that rise up against them in judgment shall be condemned. Every voice contrary to the word of God has to bow its knee. I have the word over my children. My womb is complete and filled, and I give birth to what God has ordained me to do. I thank you, and I receive my children. Lord, I thank you. You have not left me fatherless, motherless, but you are my God, and I am a child of God. And I have children that walk in your ways all the days of my life and their life. And you start pondering that, and it starts building up life and strength. And before you know it, you look up. You've got a new posture. And so Habakkuk has gone into praying, and then he goes into a hymn of faith. So in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills. Ladies, he will make me walk on high hills. It says, to the chief musician with stringed instruments. This is like saying, hey, Stacy, this is for you. And get the guitars, get the bass, I want electric and acoustic, okay? Everything. Hey, get a harp. Everything with the string, get it up here. We're jamming on this one. I want to read this in a couple of translations, and then I'm going to give you a declaration of my own, and then I'll be done. In Jesus' name. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. For the choir director, this prayer is to be accompanied by string instruments. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I am king of the mountain. Now, I'm going to read this. This is my practical application declaration. Okay, I'm going to say a word here that my father would not appreciate in our home. It's okay, because it's motherhood. Though there is no poop in the potty, and there is no food in the pantry, even though the closets lay empty with the laundry, but the laundry is abundant, even though my womb is empty and my house is empty and my life is without a husband, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like sure-footed deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. I am queen of the mountain. Therefore, I do as Mark 11:24 says. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, whether it's laundry or not, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I embrace God. I embrace his word. I embrace his word for me and my life, my future and my family. I believe it and I consider it done. The mountain is under my feet and must move. So glory to God. When I went to my mom about potty training, she said, have faith in God. And I remember thinking, I know faith is the answer for everything, whatever. But that day I went before the Lord, and I potty trained two amazing kids, and they're potty trained to this day. Hallelujah. And I did it by faith, and I had extraordinary results. And that taught me the lesson of how to parent in God. And so you may be sitting there and feeling like there are some things that seem a little empty to you in your life. You trust God. You embrace him and do it by faith in him. And what happens is your strength is changed over to the strength of the Lord. And those that wait upon the Lord, expect for, hope in, shall change and be renewed. Their strength and their power will be changed. You will be lifted up and you will mount up like eagles and you will soar above. And then when you look back, you can, it'll be said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy, the rest of the Lord. So, happy Mother's Day. And continue to embrace God, our Heavenly Father, who loves you. Amen? You want to say something? Yes, no? Get up here and say something, please. You didn't bring your Bible? You don't need it.
Well, happy Mother's Day. We're going to let you go home. But I was thinking of the scripture while Sheila was ministering, and you know, in John, 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, where it said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And I think as a mother, the greatest thing that we can do is instill the truth of God's word in our children. Because then we are guaranteed that they will have a long, prosperous, joy-filled life. Amen. Keep your children in church. Keep them in the word of God. Bring them to hear the stories in children's church. Let them grow up with the reality of who their Father God is, who their enemy is, and what they can do in Christ. Amen. God bless you. We love you so very much. Amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Thank you. That's great.